So, let's begin our teaching by reading from selected passages in Colossians. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, then there are men coming up the aisle to hand you a Bible. Please raise your hand if you'd like to have a Bible. And if you don't own a Bible, then please keep this Bible as a gift from the Lord. So we are going to be doing a little hop, skip, and jumping through Colossians. We're going to be reading from chapter 1, 2, and 3 selected verses. And we're going to begin in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. For God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ, or for you Gentiles too. I'm sorry, this is in verse 27. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. And now in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And let your roots, in verse 7, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. In verse 9, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And then finally, in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We just praise you. We love you, Father. We ask that you would, Father, meet us here today, that through your Holy Spirit, Father, that our hearts would be opened, that, Father, we would be penetrated today with your word, that we would receive it and have it impact our lives as you see fit. Father, we pray that you would bless our worship team today, bless all those who are serving here in our children's ministry today, and all those who helped us just to have this arranged to meet with you today, Father. Bless them. Father, we pray today that you would be glorified. We thank you for each person here today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So January is a time of reflection, right? Determining new aspirations and kind of planning for the new year ahead. It's a promising and a hopeful time for new beginnings. So the teaching this morning is meant to be an encouragement to us individually and also for us as corporately as Renew Church. From God's Word today, we're going to explore Colossians for the purpose of understanding how we experience the fullness of God through Christ who lives in us, and how this reality lies at the very heart of Christianity. The Apostle Paul wrote Colossians to be an encouragement to the believers there. He had never visited Colossae, and he wrote the book of Colossians to address false teachings about Jesus Christ that were threatening the church in Colossae. No other book of the New Testament sets forth more fully or defends the universal lordship of Christ more thoroughly than does Colossians. Paul's focus in his letter was to declare Christ's lordship, his supremacy, as God's eternal beloved Son and heir, in whom dwells a totality of divine attributes, essence, and power, reinforcing that Jesus is the exact revelation and representation of the Father. Paul lifts Christ as the center and circumference of all that exists. As we read in verse 119, the Apostle Paul is proclaiming that Christ is the fullness of God, that in Christ the fullness of God resides. And he also states in verse 27 that Christ lives in us, and therefore the fullness of God, which resides in Christ, is available for us to experience. So to begin, what is the fullness of Christ? And how is this achieved? Since this is the purpose and goal of God for us, then we're not going to get very far walking with Christ if we don't understand this truth. God intends us to have his fullness in Christ. As a foundation to this subject, the term fullness in the New Testament is always a translation of the Greek word pleroma. And the way pleroma is translated in the Bible is the fullness of divine excellencies and powers. It means that which has been filled. In Greek, the word for fullness means completion. Thus, out of the fullness of Christ, the completeness of all the riches of God, we have all received. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who desires that his fullness be experienced by us? I imagine you're as overwhelmed by this as I am. When we begin to talk about God's goal and purpose for this age, indeed for the Christian life, we're actually talking about what Christianity is. So what is Christianity? At the root, Christianity is Christ in us. To be filled with the fullness of God means you're taking on the characteristics of Jesus. Christianity finds its definition and its possibility in a human life only if Christ is in us. The Apostle Paul desired that very thing for the Galatians when he said, I travail until Christ be fully formed in you. And the term fullness in Ephesians and Colossians is used to present some of the most prominent thoughts in these epistles. The fullness of the Godhead is the totality of the divine powers and attributes of God. Eternal, infinite, unchangeable in existence, in knowledge, in wisdom, in power, in holiness, in goodness, in truth, and in love. And it has its permanent home settled in Christ, and incredibly, this is all available to us. As we read in Colossians 1:27, Christianity is Christ in us, the hope for glory. When we're filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden, self is out of the picture. And all falls on the Holy Spirit side of the scale. And God doesn't want to share us with us either. It isn't a little bit of God and a little bit of us. It's the fullness of God in Christ. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to fill us. That's incredible, isn't it? It's amazing. This is our God who deems it his will to live in us, who wants to make you powerful, that wants to do all the good pleasure of his will through you. I love in Colossians 3:4, which reads, Christ is your life. And no wonder King David said in Psalm 17, verse 15, he said, I'll never be content, I'll never be satisfied until I awake in thy likeness. The fullness of God is the fullness of Christ is God's goal. But primary to this intention of God, that Jesus becomes our personal Lord. You cannot have the fullness of Christ until Jesus is your personal Lord. This is nothing but another way of saying, I must be made true to God. The truth is, Jesus is Lord of all. Thus, if I see and embrace that truth, then he will be my personal Lord. So the truth will be something that has gotten inside of me and altered me in accordance with Christ. And as we learn Christ, the things of God are unfolded to us. So how does Christ come to be manifest through a human being? Christ in us is the core of Christianity, and the forming of Christ in us is a purpose that emerges from him. The result is supposed to be that we are gradually and consistently conformed to the image of his Son. And if we look at the translation of the word conformed, it means formed together with. In other words, we are not formed or shaped so that we look like Jesus. Rather, Jesus is formed in us. And then we are adjusted and altered such that we are formed with him. Thus, instead of thinking that God is going to make us look like Jesus, instead of thinking that God is going to mold our earthen vessel so that it looks like the treasure, the truth is that God wants to break the earthen vessel, which is us, so that the treasure, which is Jesus, can be seen. People today try to take the possession of things of God without realizing that you cannot do this apart from Christ taking possession of you. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God, which is Christ in us as Lord, and all these things will be added unto you." But the reality is, often we don't believe him. In fact, many believers may not even know what Jesus was talking about. God wants us to possess his fullness, and we actually receive the fullness of God when we receive Christ. And then we spend the rest of our lives having Christ unfolded and enlarged in us. So how do we come to possess the fullness of Christ? Well, it starts with salvation. If we are saved, and the reason we're saved is because life himself has come to dwell in us. Christ in us is salvation. The present work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus Christ to us, in us, and to manifest Christ through us. It is through this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that God accomplishes all else in and through believers. And I can illustrate it this way, I hope, that don't think of a cup that has maybe a finite volume or a jar, but think of a balloon that is constantly expanding and expanding. And as we live our life for Christ, we are constantly expanding. He's stretching our limits, and it seems that it is limitless. Our entire life to continue to grow and to be filled with Christ. And more we get filled, the less and less room there is for us. So how does Christ dwell in the believer? Obviously, it's not a physical indwelling, right? It's a spiritual indwelling. Indeed, we have our answer as to how Christ dwells in believers in 1 Corinthians 6:17, which says, "But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Note the spiritual unity, one with Christ by his Spirit. This is Christ in you. It is how Christ dwells in us. Our human spirit is united with the Spirit of Christ. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." If you come to Jesus Christ and are saved into his death and your old man has died in him, you are then raised a new creation in Christ. So can you see that sanctification is Christ being seen and not that which is outside of Christ being seen? If you look up the Greek words usually translated for sanctification, you'll discover as it pertains to Christianity, it means set apart for God's use or to belong to God. And sometimes a Greek word is translated holy or holiness. So when you gather that up, to be sanctified is to be made holy, to belong to God. As we read in Colossians 3:10 earlier, "So then put on your new nature as a new creation and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him." Therefore, the necessity is for the natural man to be set aside, to come under the work of the cross so that Christ might be seen in us. When we put our faith in Jesus and solely by his grace, he joins us to himself in spirit, and we at that point are one with him. God's desire is to make you his holy home and to fill you with all the fullness of himself. When we are first saved, we begin to make a home for Christ in our heart through faith and obedience. And then through the Holy Spirit, he begins to give us revelations. He gives revelations of the greatness of his love. And we're not just to know about God's love. We are to experience it, and we are to share it. This kind of love is the most awesome experience that we can have this side of heaven. It is the very presence of God in us. And as we continue to walk in this kind of love, we become filled with all the fullness of God. And I'm sure there's some in this room today who have and who are experiencing the fullness of God. And I'm sure many of you feel a deep desire to be filled with all the fullness of God. And it is the Lord Himself who gives you that desire. You know, I've known people that have been filled with what I would call all the fullness of God. But one person in particular is my mother. Now, she's been dancing with Jesus in heaven for a few years now. But when she was on this earth, she was an amazing woman for the Lord. She was evangelizing in many cities in America. She loved the Lord with all her heart, with all her mind, with all her soul. But probably what the most interesting thing about my mother was, and I know this happened at least a dozen times, probably a lot more than that because she didn't share all of those experiences with me. But she would be in Target or the gas station or walking down the sidewalk or the grocery store. And perfect strangers randomly would come up to her and look at her and say, "There's something different about you. You have a glow about you." And my mother would give them that big, warm smile. And she would say, "The glow you see in me is not me. It's Christ who lives in me. And He desires to live in you too." So I don't want you to start looking around to see if anybody seated near you is glowing right now, okay? Because being filled with the fullness of God is biblical. The glowing part is, I think that's optional. I don't think that's in the Bible. But let's face it, you've probably known people, right? And you know people right now who just are filled with the fullness of God, and don't they just shine in a way that's just amazing? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So Christ dwells in us by making us one with Himself in spirit. And that truth carries tremendous ramifications. For if we are united with Christ, and this creates a division within each believer. It creates what the Bible refers to as a separation between soul and spirit, between flesh and spirit, between the old man and the new man, the natural man and the spiritual man. And by definition, the moment we are united with Christ at salvation, there is that which is united with Christ, and there is that which is not yet united with Christ. But often when we read Christ, who is our life, that doesn't usually maybe make much of an impression on us. We might not really believe He is our life. Rather, we think He gave us a thing called life. We think that because we put our faith in Christ, that we have received some kind of a classification from God called saved, or maybe a document entitling us to eternal life. But no, Christ is life, and He is our life if He is in us. These are not petty distinctions. They are declarations of the truth. Christianity is Christ in us, and if that is real, then Christianity is an experiencing of Christ. So if you're settled on this, then how do we respond? Well, we must go on to deepen our knowledge about Christ. We read earlier in Colossians 2:7, said, "Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So we begin a lifelong process of sanctification that is intended to fill us with the fullness of Christ. And we cannot walk with Christ, you cannot have real fellowship with God unless you are at least in the process of being made true. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:5 through 7, he said, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all." So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So to walk in the light means that I am being made true to God. And you cannot walk with the truth unless you are made true to him. Now, many people still think that to walk in the truth means nothing more than maybe to hold on to sound doctrine, practice it the best we can, and to serve God at church. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you can do all of that and not really know Jesus Christ in a way that will change you and make you true. Walking in the light and the truth, being true to God, really means that no part of your person or your life is off limits to God. Walking in the light and the truth, being true to God, really means that no part of your person or life is off limits to God. Now, what would Sunday morning be without a visit from C.S. Lewis, right? David's not here, but C.S. Lewis is. So he wrote on this subject in Mere Christianity, and I want to read this to you now. C.S. Lewis wrote, he said, "So the light will tell me the truth about myself, but the light will also reveal to me Jesus Christ. For since light is truth, I will see the truth about the Savior. This too is certain. Thus there are no other possibilities if I see the truth. I will see the truth about myself, and I will see the truth about Jesus Christ. There is no other truth to see." Fullness in Christ is a matter of being one with God to the point where he has all of me, not part of me, all of me, and that I have all of him. And when I think about that, should that not be the desire of every Christian? When I accept Christ, I do not become merely a forgiven old creation. No, I become a new creation. And God's not fixing the old creation. He's making a new one. And that means that everything that belongs to the old must go the way of the cross. We die to our old life. We should desire Christ more than we desire anything or anyone else on earth. Christ came so that everyone could have a full life. We should concentrate on Christ, not on this world. We constantly pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Yet, the Spirit is limited to the degree that we have emptied ourselves to be filled. If we're holding on to some sinful behavior or idolizing something in our life above God, such as money or power or possessions, or if we are prideful about our position in life versus others, if we're judgmental, then we cannot expect the Holy Spirit to completely fill us. We must pray for the Spirit to reveal these behaviors to us, to strengthen us, and then repent so that we can be completely filled, so that Christ, who is in us, might be manifested to the glory of God. The word says in Colossians 1:10, "Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." Some Christians today think that salvation and even Christian character is a matter of God doing something to us, or a matter of us doing something for God. But no, salvation is Christ in us. Christian character is Christ seen through us. We are the earthen vessel. Christ is the treasure. So why don't some believers realize and experience Christ in these ways? Because Christ is yet to be formed in us. And this is what Paul wanted for the Colossians. "And without it, the fullness of God in Christ cannot come to pass." And this is the process of sanctification, which begins the minute we are saved to Christ and continues throughout our life. If you desire to experience the fullness of God through Christ, it will be accomplished through your continual growth in your knowledge and understanding of God's word, and through your actions as you mature to completeness as a Christian. So the task then is to cause me to decrease that he might increase. The work of the cross is to crucify me so that Christ might be seen. Every Christian bears the responsibility to grow spiritually. And the word maturity translated means complete. To go on to maturity then involves growing into a complete, fully developed disciple of Christ. It means to become increasingly like Christ in our thinking, our moral character, and our devotion to God. And yet, in our flesh, we resist. To be full of Christ means to be emptied of self. However, we are all meists, right? And we resist dying to self. We resist having our pride poured out, having our ego poured out, letting go of our autonomy, letting go of our anger and bitterness, because we are meists. When asked, what three people do we love most in this world? Too often the answer is, let's see, me, myself, and I, right? When we're at the center, we will never know the fullness of God because we keep God at bay. Only when we are swept up by his love for us will our resistance to him be melted to where we place Christ at the center of our life. In Colossians 3, 2 through 5, it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Ask yourself today, are you wanting something better? Are you tired of yourself? Are you ready to rearrange your heart so Jesus can fill you completely? Have you emptied yourself enough to be filled with all the fullness of God? And while you're reflecting on who emptied himself first for us on the cross. Ultimately, I must choose. I must choose to either save my earthly life or lose it for Christ. And I must do this in many little ways each day. But then, there will be the big ways. Those crisis points in which I either go on with God in a deeper way or go my way. If we desire our life to change, then we have to change something in our life. When you experience the fullness of God, you have the power to overcome this world. Your actions and motives will be pure. You will choose the good, right, and true path. You will love your neighbor sacrificially and be seen as compassionate and forgiving. You will possess a spiritual dynamic about you, maybe even a glow. Walking in righteousness with a pure heart, making wise decisions that honor God, sharing your godly wisdom with others. You will be more joyful, less anxious, and Jesus' character traits will increasingly become more your character traits. And others will see more and more of Jesus and less of you. Pastor David has brought a couple of Jonathan Edwards' writings, who was a famous pastor back in the 18th century. And he wrote about a special experience that he had that I'd like to share with you now. So Jonathan Edwards wrote, "Once, as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse in a retired place, as my manner commonly has been, to walk in divine contemplation and prayer, I had a view that for me was extraordinary. I saw the glory of the Son of God as mediator between God and man, and his wonderful, great, full, pure, and sweet grace and love and meek and gentle condescension. This grace that appeared so calm and sweet appeared also great above the heavens. The person of Christ appeared ineffably excellent, with an excellency great enough to swallow up all thought and conception, which continued, as near as I can judge, about an hour. This kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. I felt an ardency of soul to be what I know not otherwise how to express, emptied and annihilated. I wanted to lie in the dust and to be full of Christ alone, to love him with a holy and pure love, to trust in him, to live upon him, to serve and follow him, and to be perfectly sanctified and made pure with a divine and heavenly purity." Wow. Now that was some experience. Now, Jonathan Edwards did write. He said, well, that wasn't my typical experience. But let's let his extraordinary experience raise our expectations of ways God can show you his glory so that you seek him all the more. You know, at Renew Church, we have had a good and blessed 2016. We heard from Pastor David last week about many achievements in our community and with the body at Renew. However, as we look forward to 2017, sometimes good can be the enemy of great. We can become complacent and settle for less. So as a church, we can have the power that comes from experiencing the fullness of God in Christ. And you know, I don't believe that we have even begun to see what God can do through Renew. When we gather together, we gather with the Holy Spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we separate, every one of us that goes out from here is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask. So in closing, the Apostle Paul wanted the Colossians to know the truth about Christianity. And his letter 2,000 years ago, it's just as relevant to us today. So what is Christianity? Well, I hope we've answered that question today. Christianity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in Christ, we can experience all the fullness of God. I love what we read earlier in Colossians 3:11. It said, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So I pray that you are encouraged to align your spiritual goals in 2017 to experience the fullness of God in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, it's such a blessing, Father, to come before you to say to you, Father, how we love you. We praise your holy name. Father, you are majestic. You are the creator of all things. And yet, you desire to live in our heart, and you desire that we know your fullness. So, Father, we pray that you would, Father, just work in us, reveal to us how we can know you better. Reveal to us how we can empty ourselves more, Father, that you can fill us up. Father, we pray for the salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we can come before you righteously, and that you receive us through Christ. Father, we ask that you would bless each person here today at Renew. We ask that you would speak to them as we go through our worship, as you would have them hear your word. Again, Father, soften their heart, open their mind, Father, to hear you today, to grow in you today. Father, we pray for Renew Church in 2017, that you would do a mighty work in this church, Father. We pray that you would, that this church would be a river that is flowing into our community, proclaiming the name of Christ. Father, we love you. We ask for your mercy, for your grace, and your peace. Now be with us now, Father, as we lift up our hands, our hearts to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.